Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! And the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana. What I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
And hello, glad to be back with you after a couple days away, a live edition of the Hoosier Report on this Thursday, October 8th. We are live from the Big X Studios in Jeffersonville, and so glad to have you with us as we talk IU basketball, IU football, and of course some local stuff, local sports in this hour each weekday as well. Big day because yesterday we found out who Indiana will open the Maui Invitational with. I tell you what, I love that bracket. I love looking at the potential matchups for Indiana at the very start of the season. We know it's a challenge. We know it's one of the great early season events and tournaments, and I think we're going to find out a whole bunch about this Indiana team right out of the gate. I think that's going to be the case for college basketball as a whole because most cases you're not going to see teams start with cupcake games or playing mid-major, basically buy games or where they're getting paid to come to your arena almost for an exhibition type game. You're not going to see that. And so we're going to jump right into the season in a big way. And I think getting a little later start, that's probably a good thing. We'll find out right away what IU, what college hoops looks like this year. And that's going to be fun. So obviously we'll talk about that today as well. And I want to remind you that tonight we have the tournament pairings in high school football in the state of Indiana. So what that means, from 6 to 8, we'll carry the broadcast from the IHSA offices in Indianapolis. We'll have all the pairings for the entire state of Indiana in high school football. Of course, we still have two Fridays of regular season football to go, but we'll have the pairings tonight, and then when the pairings end at 8 p.m., I'll be live with a local pairings show. We'll talk with some coaches locally. We'll get their thoughts on the pairings. We'll kind of recap and take an early look at the different local sectional brackets. We've got some teams locally that could maybe win a sectional this year, and I'm thinking of Floyd Central and Silver Creek in football when I say that. The problem is, especially for Silver Creek, they have such a tough sectional in football. And so Coach Pappenhouse will join us tonight. Coach Bragg will join us tonight. We'll have some other coaches on later tonight as well. So join us for that. It's always fun to get the coaches' reactions basically right after they get the information. And so not only will we talk about their thoughts on the pairings as they come down from Indianapolis, but we'll also think ahead to the remainder of the high school football season as well. And I'll say this again, I don't want to jinx anybody. I don't want to bring bad news to anybody, but I have one concern with all high school sports. Soccer's in sectionals, cross country's in sectionals, girls golf, I think it's complete now, so that state tournament, state championship event is over with. Volleyball getting ready to begin soon. Of course, football, we find the pairings out tonight. The one thing that I just don't want to see, and it's going to happen someplace in Indiana, I hope it doesn't happen much, and I sure hope it doesn't affect any of our local schools, but you're going to see a team that has a positive or two case of coronavirus and has to quarantine to be safe and to slow the spread of it within their team and their school, and that's going to cause likely somebody to just be removed from the tournament or to have to forfeit their game. And after a season, for the most part, that has went pretty doggone good from all the reports we know, you just don't want to see a football team or any sport for that matter have to end their season in that manner, especially if they've made it through the regular season with no problems. But that's going to be the one interesting thing. You know, we've had some Friday night football games canceled, not made up. It's not the end of the world. You know, it happens. It hasn't really been any of the rivalry games, at least in football, which is a good thing. But you have to believe that at some point, somewhere, it's going to happen in high school football and in any sport, a sectional, a regional, God forbid, a semi-state, or can you imagine a state championship? I guess as you move later in the bracket, there could be, when you're getting down to just one game on a Saturday or one game a week in those semi-state and state final, state championship rounds, there could be a chance maybe to bump something back or a little more flexibility in the schedule. But early on, when you've got, you know, a sectional format where you're playing maybe three matches in a week, there's not a lot of ability to keep things, to separate things, to have your own schedule and get it off of the routine the rest of the state is following. So that is my fear. That is my hope. That is my prayer, that we don't see a local team lose their season. But I am thrilled that we've made it as far as we have into football and really into fall sports with just a handful of issues, a handful of games and matches and other sports lost at this point. But let's see how we do with the upcoming state tournament. All right, let's look at the show lineup today. It's a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Segment one, we'll have our Zaxby's headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news. In the segment today, some college basketball stuff in our headlines. We'll take a full look at the Maui Invitational. I know it's kind of old. You may have heard about it yesterday. You may have seen the bracket, but I still want to run through the matchups with you and talk about it a bit. Also, we'll talk about another big scheduling deal for IU basketball for college hoops this year surrounding the Gavitt games. We'll do that coming up in just a bit as well. Trace Jackson Davis, he's getting a little bit more preseason love. We'll tell you about that from Andy Katz. I think we've got plenty of positive publicity coming this preseason still for Trace Jackson Davis, as he's expected to be not only one of the best in the Big Ten, but also one of the best, I think, in the country as well for college hoops. And we'll take a look at high school football, the schedule for this weekend. I know a lot of the talk today and on our show tonight will be about the sectionals, but we can't forget we still have 2 weeks of regular season football, so we'll take you through what to expect on Friday night. This is week 8 of 9 in the high school football regular season. Later in the show, it's Thursday, so Alex Bozich of Inside the Hall, he's always with us. We'll talk IU basketball. We'll talk the Maui Invitational now that we finally know the bracket. We'll talk about when the conference schedules could be coming out. I saw John Rothstein report yesterday that, according to his sources, November 1st could be a date sometime then or thereafter that colleges, as far as conferences, announce their schedule, and that will really help us put together Indiana's schedule and more about how things are going to look this season. But we'll talk about that. We'll talk a little recruiting as well with Alex when he joins us today. And then later in the show, Matt Weaver of Pigs.com, we haven't talked IU football this week much at all. He'll help us catch up with what's going on in practice, how the team is health-wise, and, of course, a look ahead to the opening weekend of Big Ten Conference play, October 23 and October 24. We are just a few weeks, about 2.5 weeks away now from the start of IU football for this season, and of course the Big Ten for this season as well. That's the show lineup. It's a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Don't forget to check out their new dinner package deals that are now being offered. You can dine in, you can take them to go, and curbside service, it's still available if you call ahead at Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Let's get into our Zaxby's headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news, and a reminder, love to hear from you. Heard from a number of you the last couple days. What's going on? You haven't had a live show. Is everything okay? Do you have the coronavirus? No, I don't. Just had a couple days off and back with you here the rest of the week. And, of course, for an extra hour tonight with our local pairing show, and high school football. We've got wall-to-wall coverage from 6 o'clock on Friday that I'll be hosting as well. But love to hear from you. Tweet me, at Hoosier Hills, all one word, Hoosier Hills on Twitter. You can also email the show now. It's HoosierReport@gmail.com. Again, HoosierReport@gmail.com. If you got a question for one of our guests, Alex or Matt, basketball or football, a topic, a comment, send it to me. Perhaps it'll get used on the air today. Let's take a look at our Zaxby's headlines. Indiana to play Providence in the Maui Invitational Monday, November 30th. One of the questions I'm going to ask Alex today is, do we think this game, the November 30th game against Providence to start the Maui for the Hoosiers in Asheville, North Carolina, do we think it'll be Indiana's first game, or could there be a single game before the November 30th date? Because the season is still projected to start at this point on November 25th. The full bracket for the Maui Invitational, starting as at the top of the bracket working down, Texas and Davidson will open up play at noon Eastern time on November 30th, followed by Indiana and Providence at 2:30 on November 30th, 2:30 Eastern time. The winner of the Indiana-Providence and the Texas-Davidson game will play each other on December 1st, the very next day, at 1:30. The losers of those games, Texas-Davidson and Indiana-Providence, will play on December 1st at 7 o'clock. They'll go to the consolation side of the bracket and compete for 5th and 6th place on that side. Indiana can win that game against Providence. I think it's very likely they would take on Texas, and which would be another big matchup for Indiana. Bottom side of the bracket, North Carolina and UNLV. And the final game in the first round, Stanford and Alabama. So the winner of North Carolina-UNLV will take on the winner of Stanford and Alabama. Losers will take on each other as well as they go to the left side of the bracket. Very good bracket, very interesting matchups. This is going to be a fun 3 days to follow. Indiana, no matter which way they come out of that bracket, is going to get some pretty good games at the Maui Invitational. But I tell you, just an early look at Providence, I like Indiana's chances. Early look about taking on the winner of Texas and Davidson. Texas could be a tall matchup, especially right out of the gate early in the season. But I think Indiana will learn a lot about themselves very early on in the Maui Invitational. Just excited to get to that point. Excited to have some college basketball this winter. Excited to get to those events where you've got multiple games in a day where you can start the Maui Invitational at noon and the last game comes on at 9:30 that opening day. Basically wall-to-wall basketball for 3 days, and there will be plenty of other events going on as well. I think we all just want to get to that point after missing the NCAA tournament last year. One other big note for our headlines today as far as scheduling goes, the Gavitt Games, which is the Big Ten, Big East Challenge, unlikely to take place during the 2020-21 college basketball season, according to John Rothstein. Both conferences hope to resume this series, which is a really good one, in 2021-2022, so the following season. This doesn't surprise me totally. I know it knocks off a potential big matchup for Indiana early in the season and part of their non-conference schedule and non-conference resume. But when you're starting with the Maui Invitational and then you're going basically from there to the Big Ten ACC Challenge December 8th and 9th, I think is the potential dates for that. Not sure that's been confirmed, but that is what has been floated. Probably going to be tough for not just Indiana, but a lot of schools that are in this Gavitt Games Challenge to find room with everything now compacted on top of each other. Plus, the season starts about two and a half weeks later than normal. So everything just coming from both sides as these schools try to schedule in what it seems to me behind-the-scenes stories is crazy right now, trying to finish up scheduling in college basketball. Stuff that normally is done months ago, if not years ago, you get committed to some of these early season events and tournaments and all the travel and things like that, having to do it almost on a whim. I just saw Butler dropped out of their big early season tournament. I think it was down south that they were supposed to play in. And so someone had, you know, having to find a replacement for that. But lots of movement, lots of changes as we draw close to the month of November. I mean, just crazy to think this stuff is not released and set and planned and everything else at this point. But that is where we're at in sports right now. Also, I saw that Trace Jackson Davis was recognized by Andy Katz as one of the top 10 candidates for National College Basketball Player of the Year. Trace came in at number 9 as a sophomore, and here's what the capsule with his prediction of number 9 in the country said. Quote, Katz thinks Trace Jackson Davis will have a big jump from his freshman year to his sophomore year. Jackson Davis was a monster in the paint for Indiana last season, averaging 13.5 points, 8.4 boards, and 1.8 blocks per game. He'll have a lot of competition in the Big Ten this season with the likes of Iowa's Luka Garza and Illinois's Kofi Coburn. Other players on the list of interest, looking down here for other Big Ten players, Ayo Dosunmu is number 2 in his predictions for preseason player of the year. He, of course, will be a junior for Illinois. Chose to not go to the NBA draft. Luka Garza, number one. So the Big Ten has the 1, 2, and 9 spots for whatever that's worth. And Andy Katz's look at potential candidates for the National College Basketball Player of the Year. Also, I saw a ranking of the top college football coaches in the country ranked. And, of course, this is a subjective ranking, but nice to see Tom Allen of Indiana come in the number 41 spot. Again, a lot of coaches in the Big Ten in this top 50 ranking, but Coach Allen comes in the number 41 spot. Also, just this is a non-sports note, but interesting to see Assembly Hall will be used for a flu vaccine site for Indiana University students on October 9th, 10th, and 17th. They'll be able to go get their flu vaccine. As you're seeing a lot of schools, a lot of organizations, a lot of businesses, companies, entities, much more making flu vaccines and pushing that to their students or their populations this year as we're in the middle of the COVID-19 pandemic as well. High school football this weekend, week 8, October 9th. We'll be on at 6 o'clock with our kickoff show tomorrow. Just kind of running through the list of local schools here in Clark and Floyd County. Charlestown's had a lackluster season, and the Pirates are 2-5. They will play at Salem on Friday night. Clarksville, they will host Cordon Central. I would think that is potentially a game Clarksville can compete in, but Cordon putting together a nice season. They are 4-2 this year. Floyd Central goes on the road at Bedford North Lawrence. Should be a win for the Highlanders. Jeffersonville at Jennings County, New Albany. They will host Madison, and I think that actually is probably more of an interesting matchup than what we had given consideration for that earlier in the year, because Madison having a nice year. The Bulldogs 4-2 as well, but Madison coming off a win at Jeffersonville last week, 41-14, and the week before that, actually they've put together 3 wins in a row now, wins against Mitchell and wins against Jennings County. Normally when Madison comes to town, it's a win for Jeffersonville or for New Albany, but this Madison team a little better this year. And so I think that New Albany-Madison game could be pretty interesting on Friday. Providence, they will host Milan. A very good program in 1A will come down to Clarksville to take on the Pioneers on Friday night. Also, Rock Creek, they are at Edinburgh. This is the last regular season game scheduled for the Lions before they head to postseason play with the sectional a few weeks away. And Silver Creek, they've got the matchup of perhaps the season. It's the game we'll be at, one of our feature games on Friday night. Silver Creek will host Brownstown. Silver Creek 7-0. They are looking to run the regular season undefeated, and Brownstown is really a big challenge that stands in the way from that goal. Brownstown is 5-1. They lost a game earlier in the season, so they just have 6 total games. Their only loss this year to Salem in a very close game, otherwise 2 points away from it being an undefeated matchup on Friday night at Silver Creek. But a big crowd expected, a big game. It's basically the Mid-Southern Conference championship game. I will say Silver Creek has a tough close to the season because they have to play Brownstown on Friday. Then in the final week, they would take on Cordon, who I mentioned earlier is 4-2 this season. So a tough start with Charlestown and Salem. In the season, Silver Creek passed that test with flying colors, and we'll see how they do with this big close to the season to get them ready for sectional play. That's a look at our Zaxby's headlines for this Thursday edition of the program. We'll head to a quick break and come back with Alex Bozich of Inside the Hall. IU basketball discussion next. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You f***ed it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a f*** what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
Alex Bozich of Inside the Hall with us Thursdays as we talk IU basketball. And, Alex, we now know the Maui Invitational bracket for Indiana and the other seven teams in that event. The Hoosiers will open play with Providence on November 30th. What's your early thoughts on the bracket and on what I think will be a great 3 days of college hoops, and tell us a lot about this Indiana team right out of the gate?
Yeah, it seems to be a pretty tough draw for Indiana when you kind of look at it, having to play Providence first game, arguably maybe the best of the first-round matchups as I kind of look at it on paper. Both teams are, I think I looked at Bart Torvik's preseason rankings, both in the top 30 or 35, so Indiana's going to get a good test right off the bat, but I wouldn't surprise to see them on the opposite side of the bracket from North Carolina. I think that would probably be the matchup that ESPN is hoping to get on in that December 10th or December 2nd time slot, that 4 p.m. game. I'm guessing that they're hoping to see an Indiana-North Carolina game, and that would be really good to see, obviously, that early in the season. But it's going to be a tough road for Indiana to get there. You know, if they beat Providence, they're going to play the winner of Texas and Davidson, and both of those teams should be pretty solid as well. So it should be a good 3 days of hoops. Wish it was going to be in Maui as usual, but I'm just glad that the event's still getting the chance to go on in Nashville.
Now, November 30th is the date of the opening round games and the date that Indiana and Providence will play. The season, as of now, is still being projected to start November 25th. Will Indiana's first game, you think, be at the Maui Invitational against Providence, or could there be an opportunity for some sort of warm-up game or other non-conference game before the Maui begins?
I would think they'd want to play a game before that, maybe even if it was only just one game. I don't necessarily think they want to go all the way until November 30th. I think most schools will try to start that November 25th, 26th, 27th range, even if they played just one game at home or something like that. I think they could definitely get one game in before that, and I think they would probably want to do that. I mean, they could play one before that and then play the three, and then you really only have three more non-conference games. After that, maybe the Big Ten ACC Challenge, maybe the Crossroads, and then maybe one more kind of bye game before they get into Big Ten play. So I would think they would want to get a game before that, but I don't know that for certain. Haven't really heard much about the schedule at this point. We're still kind of in a wait-and-see pattern to see when we get more details on the schedule. And quite frankly, I think it's going to be several more weeks before we know anything. It might even be into November before we have a schedule.
Talking with Alex Bozich of Inside the Hall. You mentioned North Carolina, Texas, and Davidson. We know will both be pretty good as well. You expect the Maui Invitational to have some big challenges and to have some good teams. Take us through the eight teams who maybe are projected to be some of the better teams, at least in the early rankings and the early look to this upcoming 2021 season.
Yeah, definitely North Carolina, I think, in Indiana. Are they probably the class of the tournament? Providence should be a pretty good team as well. Beyond that, I mean, Texas is in an interesting spot because there's a lot of people who want to see more there from Shaka Smart, so there's a lot of pressure on him to win this season. Davidson's always a solid program. Alabama's, you know, a bit of a rebuilding mode right now. It's the same thing with UNLV. I mean, they've got new coaches here relatively recently, and Stanford is a program, obviously, from the Pac-12 that, you know, they're dealing with losing their best player from last season. Tyrell Terry went pro, so they may be a little bit of a rebuilding team as well. So that's why I kind of say North Carolina got what looks like to me a pretty easy path to the championship game if they can just come out and play their best. Indiana definitely got, I think, the tougher part of the bracket, but they may have, you know, if they're going to get there and get to the championship, they'll have earned it, whereas North Carolina could actually have two relatively easy, I think, games to get to the championship, depending on how those other teams stack up. But, you know, I would say Indiana, at least on paper, Indiana, North Carolina, Providence, to me, are the three best teams in the field, at least entering the season.
Alex Bozich, Inside the Hall. Boy, I can't wait to get to the Maui Invitational. Three great days of college basketball, a lot of great matchups, and there obviously will be other early season tournaments and just games going on at that time as well. If we can just get there, get it off the ground, I think we'll have some fun, maybe a little normalcy, even if there are no fans in the stands. One other big note, at least I thought it was a big note out there from John Rothstein, is that it doesn't look like, according to his sources, the Gavitt games are going to happen this year. Indiana was scheduled to participate in that. It's just one game. It's against a Big East school. But that's always been kind of a showcase matchup. And when you think about putting a resume together for the NCAA tournament, we know this season's going to look a lot different. But that would be another opportunity in addition to Maui, in addition to the Big Ten ACC Challenge, which obviously it looks like both of those are going to happen. It does not look like the Gavitt Games opportunity will happen for Indiana or any of those teams this season.
Yeah, I think that's probably a good thing for Indiana. You look at kind of what they already have with Maui, with Big Ten ACC, and I would think there's going to be probably a push to try to play the Crossroads this year. We'll see, but I would be surprised if that wasn't played. So that's five of your seven right there. Do you really want another game against the Power Five school when you've got 20 conference games? I mean, and under that scenario, you'd be playing basically 26 of your 27 games against Power Five teams. I would, you know, if I'm looking at that from a practical perspective, I'd want to get a different game in place of that just to kind of give myself a little bit of a break. Just based on just the difficulty of schedule, because you could be looking at a situation there where you go something like 4-3, 3-4 even in non-conference play, and that doesn't look great on paper, but you've played a lot of really good teams, and you could play really well and still have a losing record in non-conference. So I think Indiana's better off not having that event this year, and just the timing of it when it normally takes place is earlier in November. So I think it was going to be difficult for that to work out. So I think I said last week, Matt, that I'd be surprised if that was played, and here we are. That, you know, it seems like at this point it's just going to be postponed and moved to next season.
Alex Bozich inside the hall. We're talking IU basketball. And, of course, lots of questions with what the schedule will look like. Again, it doesn't look like the Gavitt games will be one of those games on the schedule. I also saw John Rothstein report that he's hearing a lot of conference schedules could be available sometime around November 1st or a little after. Any insight on when you think we'll find out what the Big Ten matchups and when the games are going to be played, maybe even where the games are going to be played? When do you think that sort of stuff will be released? Will it be sometime in November?
Yeah, I think moving towards November probably be a good call there by John, just because at this point, you know, there's it's a battle between the schools trying to figure out their non-conference games, when can they fit in these conference games. I'm sure there's going to be a couple that are played in December, but you also got all these TV partners who are really kind of trying to pick their inventory and figure out what the best games are. So the Big Ten has to put together the matchups, and then they have to go to the TV partners and say, here's who's got priority on X, Y, and Z, and then they kind of have to divvy everything out from there. So I think that's going to take some time, and you also have to remember – the Big Ten started football a lot later than all these other conferences, and so they still have a lot of things that they're working out from a football perspective, and we all know football is kind of king and rules everything else, so it wouldn't be surprising to me if we don't know until November at the earliest what the Big Ten schedule is going to look like. Maybe we get matchups, maybe we get who you're going to play before that, but I'd be pretty surprised if we have dates, tip times, TV designations anytime before November.
Alex Bozich inside the hall. Let's talk a little recruiting as we close out our weekly segment. Obviously, the big topic is Trey Kaufman. I don't believe there's been any advancements in his recruiting process. We have seen Indiana get involved with some younger players. Last week, we spent some time talking about a couple of young players from the state of Indiana that are kind of beginning to break into the national rankings and on the national scene. As Indiana gets back to playing games coming up here in November, late November, as we get to the first of the year, I wonder if the recruiting restrictions are lifted, if players are able to visit campuses. Maybe they're not allowed to visit games if there are no spectators. Who knows? I wonder if the schedule, because everything is so compacted this year, and there's a chance maybe that some games could be played in a controlled environment where you'll be there and play multiple games for a week or whatever it could be. If the restrictions are released, I wonder if coaches will even have the time, like Archie Miller, to make a game at Silver Creek or to go out and check on some prospects that Indiana is interested in the high school season. Normally you see coaches get out occasionally as they can, as their schedule with their own games and practices allow. And we don't know what's going to happen with January 1st. We just know things recruiting-wise are shut down till then. But I do think that's going to be interesting once we get into the college hoop season to see what coaches, A, are allowed to do, and B, with a very hectic and compacted schedule this year, what's even possible for him to get out and watch.
Yeah, I don't think you're going to see a lot of urgency from college coaches to get to high school games, just because, you know, based on kind of what's happening in Indiana right now in terms of high school sports, it seems like, you know, they're allowing a lot of fans to attend. I don't know how that's going to work with indoor situations, but I just can't imagine that coaches are going to want to go to high school gyms and risk potentially contracting the virus. I mean, that can have a huge impact on their team. And so now with you know, how much video is out there and live streams and such, I mean, they're going to be having opportunities to watch a lot of this remotely. And so I think that'll be the path that most choose. I can't speak to what other, you know, schools, how they're going to view it, but I think at Indiana, they'll take a pretty conservative approach. They've been pretty, this is a whole department at whole, you know, they've been pretty, I would say, conservative in terms of how they're approaching everything, not trying to jump into anything. I don't really see them doing anything that can be perceived as reckless. And the last thing you need is a coach going to a high school game where there's maybe, you know, even if there's a couple hundred people or a couple thousand people in a high school game, if they get sick or something like that, bring it back to the team, that can really be catastrophic for the season. So I just don't think you're going to see coaches going out much, if at all, this season to recruit in person. And I'd be pretty surprised most places if they're going to allow many, if any, fans to a high school basketball game. I just can't see how that, you know, if we're taking into consideration the health and safety of everybody, social distancing, being indoors, you know, we know this thing is a little bit, well, actually not a little bit, a lot more dangerous inside. I just can't see there being much support anywhere for college coaches going into high school gyms around the country and watching games until we have better therapeutics or maybe even a vaccine. So it may be in the next high school season. I'm talking 21, 22 before you see college coaches out of high school gyms with any regularity.
Yeah, who knows? It's very possible once we get, or even before we get to the January 1 cutoff for now, where recruiting is basically halted or banned as far as players going to campuses and coaches going to players. The NCAA could knock that out and not even, you know, could end that discussion for everybody. So
I would be pretty surprised if any recruiting restrictions are lifted by the NCAA anytime soon. I don't see anything changing between now and January 1st that leads me to believe that all of a sudden in January they're going to be able to go out and watch games or even allow kids to visit. I mean, we know that Trey Kaufman did visits out east to North Carolina and Virginia, but that wasn't an official visit or anything set up with the university. I just don't think you're going to see anything allowed by the NCAA until we're kind of free and clear and moving on from the pandemic.
Absolutely. Alex Bozich, Inside the Hall. Check out his website, insidethehall.com. You can follow him on Twitter, at Inside the Hall. Alex, as always, thanks for the chat.
Thank you, Matt. Have a good one.
All right, Alex Bozich with us here on this Thursday edition of the program. Don't forget, tonight at 6 o'clock, we will carry from Indianapolis the IHSA Football Pairing Show. You'll be able to find out all the matchups for every sectional across the state, including our local teams and their respective sectionals as well. When that show ends at 8 p.m., we'll have a special one-hour show. Some local coaches will join us tonight. I know that we'll have James Bragg of Floyd Central, David Pappenhaus of Silver Creek, Steve Cooley of New Albany, and, of course, we'll break down all the brackets and give you all the matchups for the forthcoming football state tournament as well, a few weeks from now, 2 weeks of regular season football still left. We'll head to commercial break, come back with Matt Weaver of Pigs.com and talk IU football, full practice, pads and everything happening in Bloomington. We'll get the latest on that. We'll talk some Big Ten football and more. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach. You got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we close the show today with Matt Weaver of Pigs.com, who covers IU football. The look at the latest with Hoosier and Big Ten football here in this segment. And Matt, IU practices well underway, and they've had, in fact, a scrimmage last weekend, and I believe another scrimmage is set for this weekend as well. So it's full practices, pads, scrimmages. This team is trying as quick as it can to gear up for the start of the football season, which is about 2.5 weeks or so away. What are, and you've got lots of sources, what are some of the words coming out of the scrimmage over the weekend and out of some of these practices on what Indiana's up to and how they are looking as they prep for Penn State?
Well, I mean, everything seems to be, all the feedback seems to be positive so far. I mean, I'm sure there was probably some rust, probably some, up and down play, because it was, I think Coach Allen said it was the first time ever that they had been in full pads. And I think they were, you kind of have to gradually build up to full pads. And they started yesterday, I believe, on the 30th. And Saturday, I think, was their first day in full pads and full contact. And I think he said it was the first time he'd ever had a scrimmage on the first day where the whole team was in full pads. But it sounded like the tackling was a pleasant surprise. I think they probably expected maybe it to be a little bit, maybe behind where you want it to be, just because you haven't tackled. And I think they had one practice in the pads in the spring. So basically you hadn't had any tackling since, you played the bowl game on January, 2nd. So, they were pleased with that. And just pleased overall with the way the team looked, and obviously there's things to work on, things to improve on, not a ton of time to get there, but it sounds like they're on the right track and they're headed into a good place for the first game against Penn State.
Matt, one of the individual players I wanted to ask you about was Samson James, and he's a player that has been written about it by a couple media people here recently. I think he was available for interview maybe earlier this week or last week. But he actually entered the transfer portal last spring and was set to maybe begin the process to leave Indiana and find another place to play college football. He got lots of texts, lots of friends, lots of buddies on the team urged him not to go. And now he's back, and it looks could play a pretty key role for Indiana this year.
Yeah, absolutely. And I was in that Zoom call, and one of the media guys asked Coach Hart, the running back coach, about it. And he made an interesting comment where he said, it was basically about a 24-hour kind of deal where he went in. And people have to remember, for the transfer portal, you don't have to go talk to your coach. You don't have to go talk to your position coach, your head coach, your coordinator. You just go to an office at IU and you fill out some paperwork and you're in the portal. You don't have to notify anybody. Sometimes coaches find out after the guy's already in the portal. So it's different than the way it used to be. And, Coach Hart mentioned how a couple years ago nobody would have even known about this. And, Samson was very close and still is very close with Dave Ballou, the strength coach who was at Indiana, is now at Alabama. They're both from Avon, and Dave Ballou's known Samson and his family for a long time. And it's a very, very close relationship. But I think it kind of rocked his world a little bit when Coach Ballou decided to leave and go to Alabama. And I think he, like a lot of young people do, like a lot of us did when we were that age and maybe even now, sometimes you make kind of an irrational decision and you do something before thinking. And after he cooled down and thought about it and realized what was all at stake, he decided to stay, and good for him and good for Indiana. And like you said, he'll be an integral part. Obviously Stevie's a big part of the running game for Indiana, and probably will be the starting running back, but you rotate guys anymore, and who's the starter and who's not is not as big of a deal as it used to be. And they'll both get plenty of carries all season, and I think Samson's going to have a really nice year for IU.
Talking with Matt Weaver, Pigs.com, IU football is the topic. I want to talk, obviously, about Penn State and a little Big Ten football with you as well. The more I read on this Penn State team, they are obviously a big challenge for Indiana out of the gate. I know that IU, the players and coaches, have hopes that this can be a game at home Indiana wins. I know the fans would love to see the season start off with a bang. And that's kind of something Indiana football needs, a signature win against somebody in that top level of the Big Ten Conference. How realistic do you think it is as we sit here a couple weeks or more away from the season and think about maybe an Indiana victory in that game? Or is there just so much unknown with the crazy offseason and even about Penn State from that side as well that to talk about that's silly?
No, I think you can talk about it. And to me, I kind of go – I'm not saying that past history or recent history is the most accurate way to judge something, but if you go back the last couple of years, Indiana has been in the game and had a chance to beat Penn State the last few years. You know, last year that was a game that, you know, they were down a score and Penn State had the ball and they had to get a stop and weren't able to. But that is a game and a team that they've been competitive with. And that, to me, is the biggest thing. Can you compete with them for, you know, four quarters, 60 minutes? You know, a team like Ohio State, it's tough to compete with them for four quarters. That, you know, and Penn State's got great talent, don't get me wrong. But Ohio State's just on a different level right now than everybody else. To me, that's the only game where Indiana's going to struggle, in my opinion, to compete for four quarters if that team brings their A game. If Penn State brings their A game, it's going to be a tough game. But I think if Indiana brings their A game, they got a fighting chance. And, you know, we'll have to see how it plays out. But I think this is a game where they can compete, where they can, if they you know, do things right and they don't hurt themselves with dumb mistakes and penalties and you know, stuff that, you know, you just can't do when you have to win a game. I think they'll have a chance at the end of the game to get the victory. But yeah, they're going to have to play well. I mean, they're going to have to show up. I mean, Penn State's got good players and good coaches, and offensively they're going to be pretty good. They've lost some guys defensively, and, you know, losing Micah Parsons is a big loss for them at linebacker. He's an NFL player. But they got a lot of good players on that team, and they'll plug somebody else in that's really talented as well. So Indiana's gonna have to play a good game, but I think they've got a shot if they show up and they do what they need to do.
Matt, one other Big Ten note to bring up. I know Indiana does not play Wisconsin until later in the season now with this reworked schedule. In fact, it's the second to last game of the regular season. But I saw that the Badgers quarterback out indefinitely. It looks like for the season, after a foot injury, he had surgery. You hate to see that kind of stuff, and obviously anytime you lose your starting quarterback for the season, it's before the season even begins, it's a big loss.
Yeah, absolutely, and he's a guy that's obviously played quite a bit for Wisconsin. I know, I think they've already plugged in Graham Mertz, who was a highly recruited, highly rated guy, and a four-star quarterback. You know, I think the one silver lining for Wisconsin, and this is not a knock on Jack Cohn or any quarterback who's played there, but obviously their offense is built to run the ball. That's what they do. They get big, huge offensive linemen, and they get good backs. And, you know, game manager is kind of a negative connotation for a quarterback, but for Wisconsin, that's kind of what he is. I mean, you're not asked to throw the ball 30 to 40 times a game usually. Now, sometimes if things don't go their way, they may have to change the way they do things. But, you know, your job is to manage the game, to make some throws. They're great at play action because when you run it as well as they do, teams tend to bite on that fake to the running back, and then you got something over the top. But, you know, he played pretty well for him last year, and it is a loss. But I will say, if they do what they normally do, they got a great defense. Their defense is going to be one of the best in the Big Ten, maybe one of the best in the country. And their running game has been good every year for, it seems like, you know, forever. You know, it takes a lot of pressure off their quarterback. So, you know, for a lot of teams, losing your starter at quarterback because of what's on his plate would be really tough to kind of replace. And not that this will be easy to replace, but I think it's a little bit easier with their system and how they do things. And, you know, the fact that he's got a great defense and a strong running game to lean on.
Matt, I want to bring up a few things about Coach Allen leading the football program. I saw on the Pigs site that 247 had a ranking of the top, I think, 50 coaches in college football. Obviously, it's all subjective, but it seems on any list of top coaches that Tom Allen has a place somewhere on that list. He is someone that in the game of college football is well-respected, and someone that always gets high marks when you talk about and think about coaches improving programs and making steps forward. He really has already at Indiana, even though there's plenty of room to build and plenty of expectations that still need to be met and consistency that could be found. He has met some of those objectives or goals, at least in the eyes of some national college football people.
Absolutely. And, you know, I think sometimes you maybe maybe this isn't a fair characterization of everybody, but I think sometimes people see Tom Allen and they see, you know, he's excited on the sideline. You saw the thing a couple years ago when they beat, I think it was Virginia, and he kicked over the trash can when he was high-fiving his fans after that rainy game. And they see that kind of stuff. And people, you know, they don't think they realize this is a really good football coach. This is a good X's and O's coach who, you know, has come up and worked his way from the lower levels, from high school to the lower levels of college as a position coach and coordinator. And this is a well-respected guy when it comes to X's and O's. I mean, he's put together good defenses. And you know, as a head coach, when he first came in, I'm sure there was mistakes he's made. He probably still makes some today because we all do. but he's really grown into that role. He's a great leader. The recruiting has gone to another level. And, excuse me. And just the way he runs that program, you know, guys really buy in. And that's important in a place like Indiana where you're not going to get a ton of five-star guys, at least not right now, or high four-star guys. And you can just beat people with talent. You got to coach them up and you got to get them to, you know, like get Bill Mallory, you get him to run through a brick wall for you. That's how he got that program going back in the day. And so, you know, I think there's a lot of similarities between Tom Allen and a Bill Mallory with how they do things and how guys really connect to him because of their personality and how much they know that he cares about them, not just as football players, but as people. And, you know, I think that's something that'll never go away no matter how long football's around. Those kind of things will always be important.
Absolutely. Matt Weaver, Pigs.com. Thanks for the chat on IU football. We'll talk with you again next week.
Okay. Thanks, guys. Take care.
Matt Weaver, Pigs.com. You can read his work at the Pigs.com website. You can follow him. All sorts of IU football coverage at MB_Weaver on Twitter. That's going to wrap things up for this Thursday edition of the program. Just another reminder, tonight here on the Big X, we have coverage of the football pairings as they are released. That show from 6 to 8 tonight from Indianapolis. You'll be able to hear Bob Lovell and Paul Condrey with all the pairings across the state, including our local sectionals. And then from 8 to 9, I'll have a local pairing show. We'll get reaction from some of the coaches. I know at least three will join us tonight. Coaches Bragg, Pappenhaus, and Cooley, Floyd Central, Silver Creek, and New Albany will be represented. We may have another coach or two with us later for you as well. But we'll talk about the pairings and their thoughts on the season so far and get you ready for high school football state tournament, which it's hard to believe we're already to that part of the calendar and that part of the year. We are 2 weeks of regular season remaining away from the start of the tournament. So join us tonight, really from 6 to 9. We'll have local coverage. 6 to 8 is the pairing show. 8 to 9, a pairings recap with some of our local coaches here in Southern Indiana. That's going to wrap it up for today. Don't forget to check out the Hoosier Report as a podcast. We're available on Apple Podcast and SoundCloud as well. We'll talk with you tomorrow at 11 a.m. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.